Amen. Hallelujah. God's so good. I said, God's so good. You were here this morning. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Why don't you turn to a neighbor and just say, I'm just really glad you're here this morning. Find somebody. You can just tell them, we need you. We need you. Amen. I just think it's an awesome privilege that we get to come into the house of God and get to be together in His presence. Amen. Don't ever take that for granted. It is just awesome. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter 14. I promise Pastor and I did not conspire, but he started to preach my sermon, the baptismal. We'll just continue it. It's good. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. I'm happy about that. Amen. Well, I just feel, and I've been feeling all week, and actually probably for several weeks over the last month or so, the word that keeps coming to mind, and it is transition. And I don't know what that means for each and every one of us, but I just know that seasons are changing in our lives. For many of you, just in the natural, you guys are going through. We had two pregnant ladies up here helping with worship this morning, so they're in a transition. And some of you are new jobs, your new transitions, you're newly married. Nana and Tegan, congratulations, right? It's a new season in your life. It's a new season in many people's lives. And this weird thing happened this last week. I don't know if you noticed it, but I went outside on Thursday at work, and it was like warm. I believe either Wednesday or Thursday might have been the first day above 70 degrees in 175 days. I saw something like that, and wow, did we need a season change? Amen? Someone said it was like the rainiest season. There was like records over the last 20 years, 120 years, something like that. It just felt like it was wet, and it just never ended. But thank God we're seeing the beginning of the end of that, all right? We hope and pray. Amen? Transitions in life and transitions in where the Lord is taking us. How many know He's taking you from glory to glory, from faith to faith? Amen? This whole Christian life is a transition. We aren't what we used to be, but we aren't fully what we will be. Amen? But we've left. We haven't arrived, but we've left, okay? And thank God for that, that He's working in our lives. We are all a work in progress. Amen. And so I have some questions for you this morning. Have you prayed for change? Are you waiting for change? Are you in the middle of change? Are you in a season of change, finding it different than you envisioned it? Are you wondering if it's really, if you really heard God right? Right? When you're in transition, that means that something's ending and you're about to come into something that's beginning. It's new, afresh in your life. And, positive things bring transitions. Negative things can bring transitions. But if you are loving God, you're trusting Him, you're believing in Him, how many know He works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose? If you are trusting Him, He will lead you. He will direct your paths. So this morning, I just want to encourage you in that. When we pray and ask for change, God, being the gracious, loving Father that He is, often answers us. But many times, the change that comes brings different results than maybe we thought. But God's working in us, amen? And sometimes life just throws changes at you. But if you are seeking to grow in the Lord, then things are going to continue to change in your life. Living things grow and growing things change. Amen? We're seeing this season now that we're in. Things are changing. If you are willing, God will direct your path to a place where He can transition you into the purpose and plan He has for your life. We had this wonderful opportunity earlier this month. It was my kids' spring break, and they had never been to Disneyland. And so we decided we were going to surprise them with a trip to Disneyland. And it was super fun, right? My kids are 6 and 8 years old, and they had mentioned going to Disneyland several times. It's okay, Caroline. I asked Grace if I could share this. It's good. So we have a rule in our house. If I share an example story of one of my kids, I have to ask them for permission or I have to pay them if I don't ask. So, and that's because I'm a PK and I grew up knowing what that feels like. So, sorry. I don't hold any resentment. I'm free in Jesus' name. And so I asked, and so she was okay. She goes, yes, Daddy, you can share. All right, so we decided to totally surprise them. They had no idea. In fact, they thought I was working the entire week of spring break. And so that first Monday, we were going to leave Monday afternoon, and you know, I'm pretending to do the work thing, kind of staying out of their way, and the great kids, I can hear the kids, I'm just bored, we need something to do, we're bored. And so Carolyn decides, okay, you know, we got to figure out how a way we're going to pack the car, and they don't see it, they don't know what's going on. So Carolyn says, I'm going to take them for a walk, and then you go pack the car, and then we come back, we're going to surprise them, right? And so we did this, our plan's working to perfection. And then when they come back and I start talking about it, said, hey, you guys, you know what? Let's just go somewhere. Let's go to a park. How's that sound? You guys want to go to a park? And they're like, sure. And they start listing off all the parks they like in the area. And I said, how about a park maybe down south that you haven't been to yet? And I could see this look of like concern come on my daughter's face, like, Now, Gabe lit up. Gabe's a little different. He's like, yeah, right? Exciting. This look of concern on my daughter's face because this is unknown to her. And so we start talking about some more. And, you know, we're getting the kids in the car. And I come back in the house. And Grace has got tears coming down her face. And I'm like, oh, okay, I saw this going different. That was not the outcome I was looking for. And she was, it was just this unknown. It was like, what, the park we've never been to? And so we got him in the car and we took him down. We got to the parking lot. And they're looking, they're like, yeah, I mean, I wish you could see their faces. It was awesome. They're in the back seat, this look of bewilderment on their faces. And they're like, this isn't a park. This is a parking lot. So it's a parking place down south. So I'll tell you what, why don't we get in the shuttle and go somewhere? They're like, what? Then we open the trunk, they see their luggage, and they're, what is going on? You know, and so they're just going, we're not telling them anything. And so we get to the airport, and Grace is just eyes popping out of her head. What are we doing? I'm like, what do you say we just get on a flight? What do you think? And she's like, can we do that? Can we do that? And eventually we got in the security line and there's still, she finally just came to a place where, you know, she goes, okay, it's an adventure. Yeah. Don't tell me anything. I'm just going to go with it. So the intrepidation, the fear, the worry just kind of went away. And she said, okay, you guys are good parents. You're not going to take me anywhere crazy. Just don't tell me anything. I'm just going to go. I'm going. It's an adventure. And Gabe's like, yeah, adventure, yeah. So how many know this walk with the Lord is an adventure? And you don't know where it's going to take you necessarily. God hasn't given you the full details, but he's taking you somewhere good. He's taking you somewhere good, and God's going to bless you. Let's read Exodus 14, times of transition for the children of Israel. It says in verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pihahiroth. Thank you, Lord. Between Migdol and the sea, and you shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea besides Pi-Hahirothoth in front of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Ouch. So we have the Lord redirecting the Israelites towards the Red Sea, and here they find themselves stuck between two mountain ranges and the sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army behind them. You could say they were stuck. They were in the cul-de-sac of trouble, if you will, right? And yet the Lord had a purpose and a plan in this to confuse and to ambush the enemy that was pursuing them. And yet the children of Israel were failing to see God's purpose in this. They were only seeing the circumstances. They were only seeing what was before them. And they were saying, man, this is terrible. And rightfully so, they were afraid. Right? But keep in mind what had happened before this. They had seen many mighty miracles as God brought them out of Egypt by his right arm and his power. As God delivered them from the Egyptians, they had seen that. But this was really one of their first tests when they came out. They were at a testing place, if you will, of really trusting the Lord and seeing his salvation revealed and seeing him deliver them. Amen? And so this was a transition out of their old life. But God's purpose was to bring them into his promised land, right? And the land flowing with milk and honey of blessing of God's provision, right? That he had promised to their forefathers. So they had this all going for them. They had the word of the Lord, which had just been declared as they left, right? But quickly fear comes in. And I want you to see what Moses says to them in verses 13 and 14. He says, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever.'" Come on. "You will never again see them forever." Some of you went through the waters of baptism this morning. My little niece. So never see those enemies again forever. That's awesome, right? That is the power of baptism, that God delivers us and brings us into newness of life. "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." So the first thing he says, there's three things here I want you to get this morning. Don't fear. When you're in a time of transition, there's many times we are tempted to fall into a place of fear. There's a temptation to give in because of the feelings. I don't know when you're in transition, it's a feeling of uncertainty. There's turmoil. There's a discomfort, if you will. Anybody know what I'm saying this morning? And so we can get focused on the circumstances. We can get focused on the things changing around us, and it can cause us to come to a place of fear. Fear neutralizes faith. It moves us in the opposite direction of faith. Just as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, fear comes by hearing and seeing things that are contrary to the fear of God that we allow to have a greater voice and a greater impact than the word of God. Did you hear that? So fear is many times we are looking at something. Someone said fear. They gave me an acronym. And I thought it was good. False expectations appearing real. We begin to expect bad things. We begin to, and then it distorts our memories. That's why the Lord had to remind them multiple times throughout the Old Testament, remember, 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 remember the works of the Lord. Constantly calling them to remembrance, because the circumstances and the things that we encounter in the natural will come against us and will cause us to look at things differently than we should, and cause us to not see God's perspective, but to fall prey to fear. They had a choice in that moment. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Amen? We just need to change our focus to what God has given us. Fear is not from God. Amen? Fear is a spirit. It comes against us. It comes against us to dissuade us, to move us off the path that God has for our lives. And as a child of God, we need to recognize that fear, that we should have no toleration for fear when it comes against us. To stand and rebuke it. The Bible says resist, submit to God, which is to submit to what His Word says. Come under what His report is. And He says, I've given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. What does that look like? Lord, I'm afraid. The circumstances are really, really crazy right now. Pharaoh's army's coming against me. There's mountains. We're stuck. We have nowhere to go. There's a sea next behind us. But Lord, I know You've given me love, power, and a sound mind. And I can stand. Amen? Having done all, it says in Ephesians 6, to stand. That's next. The antidote to fear is God's perfect love. 1 John 4:18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." I mean, again, we're a work in progress. God is perfecting us in His love. But the antidote to fear is to get ourselves into a place of security in God's love. You need to know this morning that God loves you. And no matter what you're facing this morning, no matter what situation, circumstance, trial, testing that you're in, God loves you, and His love and His grace are sufficient to get you through to a place of victory. Amen? And no matter what you face. And so we can take security in that. Say, I know, Pastor, He loves me. I get it. I get it. Oh, but we can't hear it enough. We can't hear it enough. We cannot hear it enough. He loves us more than we can imagine. And you know how we know, man, we know we're growing in that love, is that fear is losing its power in our life. Fear is losing its power in our life. You may face something and God, you get a revelation of God's love in the midst of that fear that comes against you. And then the next time, you're standing stronger in the love and the grace of God. And Timothy said this. He said, Paul's letter to Timothy, he said, be strong in the grace of God. And so there's a strength that comes when we face things, when we face resistance, and we face these circumstances in our life in the midst of transition, when we trust God and find ourselves secure in His love. God's plan is to transition. He was transitioning His people from being in slavery to being sons and daughters. And it was a process, right? And His plan, His time of transition, to take them through the wilderness, as I understand it, would have taken 14 days. If they'd gone the right way and been submitted to God and following, or it could have taken 14 days, it ended up taking them 40 years, right? So times of transition can take longer depending on how we respond, right? Matthew 8:26, this was Jesus speaking to His disciples when they were in the boat crossing over, and they come across the storms, and Jesus had woken from His sleep, and He had rebuked the storms, and He says to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. We need to be reminded of who is leading us. As the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so, He says, do not fear. I've heard it said, although I haven't validated this, that there are exhortations in Scripture the number of 365 times, do not fear, one for each day. Right? God, Jesus, when he came to Jairus, when he was going to minister to his daughter, he had heard a report that she was dead, and he says, do not fear. That there's another report. If we're going to fear something, then let it be this. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 said this. It says, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of us may seem to come short of it. I don't want to miss out on anything God's got for us. I hope that's our attitude this morning. My wife has identified this condition that I probably shared before. It's called FOMO. F-O-M-O. It means fear of missing out. So when there's something exciting happening and she's not there, like last week I got to go to California and I'm with her sister, her twin, and their family, and I made a big husband mistake. They took me to the beach, and it was nice and warm that evening, and I, like, FaceTimed her, and she's at home about... And she's at home, and she's with the kids during our favorite time of the day, bedtime. I don't know about you, but I posted this recently. I said, it's the mystery of parenting. It seems like they're doing bedtime for the first time every night. It's like I look at them and say, it's time. It's bedtime, and they just look at me like, what? What? Where was I? So I FaceTimed her from the beach, and she's looking at me, and she's just like shaking her head. And Pastor Caleb, my brother-in-law, looks at me and goes, bro, there's no peace for the wicked husband. He says, you FaceTimed her from the beach. Bad. Yeah. He says, you might be on DEFCON 5. All right. So we don't want to miss out. Number two, he says, stand still. Then I added, God's got this. Man, that goes against everything in us, right? Stand still. I got armies coming at me. I'm trapped, hemmed in. Stand still. It's not easy to stand still in the face of circumstances that are out of our control. But often that is what God asks us to do. Because the Lord fights our battles. He says the battle is the Lord's. He says, stand still. And while God is saying, stand still, fear is saying, go back to what you know, retreat. Instead, we can consider all joy, James says, right? Chapter 1, he says, consider all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect work in you so that you may lack nothing. And so these types of circumstances, depending on how we respond, right, can make us bitter or better. It's a testing place. But you know why he can say, I was just praying about this. I've never, you know, was struggling with trying to understand this passage. Consider all joy, Lord? Really? That's not the first thing that comes to mind. Trials and testing. Young people, you hear the word test, right? I'm 20 years out of school, and the word test still brings anxiety, right? But testing is a proving place. It's a chance to prove the Lord. He proves himself in the midst of our tests in life. And it proves what's in us. When we submit to God, we see what God has put in us and that we're able to stand. We go, you know, Jesus made one promise. He said, in this life, you'll have trials and tribulations. There's no exemption for the Christian. I know that sounds good, but that's not the truth. In fact, we're guaranteed them. And so when we encounter them, He says, consider all joy, because you can go through the same things the rest of the world's going in, but you're going through, but you're going through differently because you have an overcomer. He says, fear not, I have overcome the world. Amen? Stand still. God says, stand still. Despair says, give up. David wrote in the Psalm 27:13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have despaired, but he says, unless I had believed. Jesus said, this is your work, to believe on him who he sent. The work is for us to believe. Just believe what he's saying he will do. Children of Israel were operating on a promise and a plan that God had already communicated. Believe it. Don't despair. And you know what I love? As a believer, we never have to despair. No matter what we go through, we have victory. I mean, if they kill us, we have victory. Come on, somebody. We still win. That was like a campaign slogan, wasn't it? You're going to be so tired of winning. But I like winning. And Jesus has already won. Thank you, Lord. And so we always have victory. There's no place for despair. David knew this at the time he wrote this psalm. He was also in a time of transition, anointed to be king, an enemy in pursuit, and many reasons to despair. But he says, but I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So whatever circumstance you're in this morning, church, it's time to believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? He will deliver on his promise. God says, stand still, and patience says, we need to do something now. Anyone like that? But David goes on in Psalm 27:14 to say, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And it's not a passive wait. It is a waiting of expectation, eager anticipation that God's going to come through on my behalf. Come on, somebody. So if you're in the place of transition and you're saying, I'm in a place of waiting, it's uncomfortable, just wait on the Lord, but expect good things. Presumption says, go ahead and jump in the Red Sea before God says go. We're tempted to not wait for God's instruction and timing, but there is a kairos, there is a time and a season for moving. And we need to wait for his time and his season. Amen? Because that time, there's never wasted time when you are trusted in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. God is using that. He is using that. He's doing a work of preparation in you. He is transforming you. You are being changed from glory to glory and faith to faith, whether you know it like it, know it, or feel like it. It's true. I was watching a message and I heard a preacher say this. You know, he has magnified his word above his name. We ought to magnify his word above our rationale and our feelings. I love that. Though I don't feel it, it is true. Will we stand on what God has said in the face of challenging transitional circumstances in our life? Circumstances change, people change, the world changes around us, but God never changes, his word never changes. The Israelites were questioning, is it because there are no graves in Egypt? You came to take us out here to die in the wilderness? In times of change and upheaval, we need to stand on the faithful testimony of God in our lives. He's been there for us. He's never failed us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He never will. Come on, somebody. I know he's there for me. Check out his word in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Thank the Lord he doesn't change his mind concerning his promises. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that. James 1, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, listen, it says, with whom there is no, what? Variation or shifting shadow. He has set his mind on revealing his goodness to you, and he has not changed his mind. Come on, somebody. And so he's only got good things in store for you. Amen. You know, no matter what we face, it's God's goodness. It is God's goodness that leads us to repentance. It changes our mindset. It's a revelation of his goodness. God didn't call us to live in fear. He called us to live in his love and his light. They also had a word from the Lord that he was taking them into the land. His word, of his word, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away in Matthew 24:35, but my words will not pass away. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Man, we need to get this verse in our spirit and just hang on to it every day. It says, for as many as are the promises of God in him, in who? In Jesus. They are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Amen. They're not maybe. They're not if he feels like it. They are yes. Thank you, Lord. And amen. And so we just need to add our amen. Your promises are yes. Amen. Don't wait until you are on the other side of transition to praise him. Come on, somebody. Don't wait till you're on the other side of the sea or on the other side of whatever God's taking you through to praise him. There is power in praise. Praise dispels the enemy. Praise magnifies God over your circumstance. Oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We got to praise him. We got to magnify him. See, our temptation, fear comes because we have magnified the circumstance. But God says, magnify him, and that circumstance looks like nothing in light of that. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just throwing all these verses at you because I just believe the word speaks itself sometimes, for all the time. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you in a future and a hope. Man, Satan would come to lie to you and tell you that God's trying to do something crazy to you. We'd be getting into all sorts of crazy doctrines. God made me sick to show me a lesson. Come on, somebody. It's not true. That is not true. God, I mean, can you imagine a father doing that? God does not bring calamity in your life. You are in a world that has fallen. You are in a world where the prince and the spirit of this age is out to defeat and destroy and to kill and steal. There's a lot of other reasons. That's a long message. But we need to know God's not guilty. He's out for your good. He loves you. He has a wonderful plan. Even if it's hard, he makes it wonderful because he's wonderful. Amen? 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always, somebody say always, leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Whoo! That victory that God's bringing you through to is not just for you. It's not just for you. He says, my name will be honored because of what I'm doing to Pharaoh. So when he defeats your enemies, come on, somebody, it's for his praise, it's for his glory, it's for his honor in your life. It's not about us. It's about his glory. Be glorified in and through me. That should be our prayer. And then we get our eyes off us and our circumstances. We go, God, you can use this for good, even though it's meant for harm. Oh. Thirdly, he says this. I'm almost done. Watch and be quiet. And how many know they needed a little bit of that, right? It's time to zip it and watch. You said your piece, now watch me do what I'm going to do. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Yes, it was accomplished. It's a finished work. It was done, but God's work of salvation is continual in your life, and he is working it in you to the God's the Father's good will and pleasure in you. Amen. His salvation is continually working in your life. If God brought you here, he will bring you through. It was not these helpless, poor Israelites who brought themselves out of Egypt. It wasn't even Moses. But it was the Lord's working. He had moved powerfully on their behalf in Egypt, and he would do it again. Man, we just got to believe that. And he says, be quiet. I'm just listening to this part. I'm going, man, how many times? There's just times we just need to. The best way, don't give voice to your fears, worries, and doubts. It matters. What you say in these circumstances matters. Because when you speak them, the Bible says that in the tongue is the power of death and life. That when we speak those things, it releases something negative. You're hearing it. You know why it's good to speak the word of God? Faith comes by hearing. You speak it, you hear it. It's like this cyclical thing. Your faith is getting built up. You're getting strengthened. Amen? As you speak forth the word of God, I encourage you when you read it, you come across a promise and the Holy Spirit just quickens it to your spirit. Begin to read it and speak it forth and declare it over your life. There's power in that. David said, let the thoughts of my heart and let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Let them be acceptable. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, do not worry then, saying, right? What shall we eat? What shall we wear? All these things concern. Because when you say it, it's releasing something. Proverbs 6:2 says this, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth. We can get snared with our own words. Romans 8:31, here it is. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So if I am going to be speaking, it's going to be speaking words of faith and belief in God. Amen? Over that circumstance, over that situation, over the period of transition in my life, that God has something good for me, Lord. I know, God, you're going to bring me through. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, God, that even though I don't see with my natural eyes, I know that you're bringing me forth. I know that you're doing a work in me, God, and you began a good work in me, and you will bring it to completion. I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you're taking me to a good place. Come on, somebody. These are things we need to begin to pray. You know, the more the revelation you get of what God's already done and what he has in store for you, your prayer life turns into a lot of thanksgiving. You can just recite, I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free in Jesus' name. I have the victory. Now let's read this last part and we'll close with this. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, back in Exodus 14, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Whoo! I don't know if the Israelites could see that. That God had already created this division and this separation, this protection. But it was there. But he says, you go forward. Now is that timing. Waiting on the word of the Lord to move forward. First he says, stand, right? We need to be hearing what the Lord is saying. I'm glad we're doing the study Wednesday nights. It's good to hear. And the timing of the Lord. Amen? And he brings them through. The Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land so that the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land. The waters were like a wall to them on their right and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. Man, I don't know what Pharaoh was thinking. But you got to be messed up in the head to think you are going in through with them. But he was that prideful and he was that arrogant that he did so. And thank God he did, because those enemies were drowned in the sea forever. And on the other side, there was a praise service. Come on. There is a rejoicing. Can we stand to our feet this morning? There is a sound of victory, the song of the Lord. And I just know this morning the Lord has victory for you. The Lord is working in your life. He has something good in store for you this morning. Some of you said when I asked earlier this morning if you've been praying for change. You know, you've been in that place of restlessness. You're in that place of, restlessness. Sometimes it manifests in frustration, yeah? But God knows where you're at. And he knows what you need this morning. And I just want to invite you to come. We want to pray with you. Maybe he's talking to you this morning about your perspective, your attitude, the position he wants you to take in the season that you're in right now. He loves you so much. You know what's great is when we're in restlessness, the Lord says that he's the good shepherd. He leads us and causes us to lay down in green pastures. Amen? So wherever he has you this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, maybe you're a new believer this morning and say that old life's still calling and beckoning to me. I feel like Pharaoh's armies are on my tail. The Lord wants to bring you to a place of victory and deliverance. Amen? And I just feel this morning. I mean, we've had two services in a row of baptisms, but I know there's people here still who need to make that decision. This picture of the Israelites going through the Red Sea is that picture of baptism. And maybe that's a matter of obedience. I just want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, it's time. There's power in that. Amen? Many around here have been through, they can encourage you in it. We want to encourage you in that. I just felt that from the Lord this morning. But God wants to turn your testing into testimony for his praise. Your transition from peril to a place of praise and thanksgiving. So if we could just have pastors come up, Pastor John and Carolyn, if you could come join me. And if you need prayer, if the Lord's speaking to you this morning about anything, maybe you've been dealing with fear. You know, there's no condemnation. The Lord loves you, and he's here to deliver you from fear. He's here to deliver you from anxiety. Anxiety's real. Man, sometimes the Bible says that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. It can be so terrible. I've been there. So if you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm in a dark place and I don't know, I just need the Lord. Just come forward. We want to pray with you. Don't miss an opportunity. We want to believe with you and stand and agree for the Lord to minister in your life, for deliverance, for salvation if you need it. If you're here, you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Oh man, he's been tugging on you. You're here for a reason this morning. Amen? God's calling you out of Egypt. He's calling you into his promised land. He's calling you into his purpose, his plan for your life. If that's you this morning, just respond. And we want to pray with you and lead you. And just agree with you in that prayer of salvation this morning. Just receiving what he's done for you. That's it. It's that simple. Jesus fights the battles. Amen? He is our mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you for your deliverance this morning. Thank you, Lord, that things are breaking off of people's lives this morning. Lord, we just look to you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, you're so good. You're so faithful. No matter what we go through, God, you are there. You are there. And you carry us. And you lead us. Father, we thank you for that this morning. If you're here this morning, you have sickness or pain in your body, just lift your hand where you're at right now. Let's just release the healing. Jesus' name. There's Karen in the back. All right. Thank you. Can you look around for a hand raised near you and just stretch your hand to him. Stretch. If you're near him, lay your hand on him. Let's just release healing right now in Jesus' name. We're going to also pray up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing in bodies right now. Lord, we rebuke pain in the name of Jesus. We take authority over pain. Thank you, Lord. You are our healer, Jehovah Rapha. And God, by your stripes, we have been healed. And we thank you. We receive that healing. Lord, we thank you. You send forth your word of healing. You sent forth your word and delivered us from our diseases. Our sickness, our infirmities are healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for pain being gone in the name of Jesus.
Stay.